My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Bay Area.
Rips another one to left. It is out of here. My goodness.
Jump the gun already. Bay Area, what's going on? Dan Devone, Jason Dumas, 95.7 The Game, Saturdays. Dan, it's been a minute, man. How you been?
How's the Achilles, brother? How you doing?
It's getting better day by day. You know, you're a fellow hooper. You know, we're in the glory years of pickup basketball at our age. And when you play as often as we do, you know, it's kind of inevitable. But I'm on demand, and I'm getting better day by day.
I'm telling you, man. Everybody, once you get north of 30, it's just a matter of time. It is almost imminent that either everybody I know has either blown an ACL or torn the Achilles. I'd say in the 90 percentile of guys that I've balled with.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I don't know. Like the tendons and those lower body tissues begin to give way once you get to like 32, 33. And sure enough, brother, I should have forewarned you a little harder, man. But you'll be all right. You still got the golf game going.
Yeah. I joined that not so exclusive club as it seems, but you know, that's life, and we keep moving forward. I'm gonna start with some Giants talk because they have a decision coming up, Dan. You know, July 30th is the trade deadline. It's been the debate of the year.
Sell every one of those bums.
I agree. But Farhan has, why would he do that? For him personally, it would essentially be the end of his reign at the Giants.
That's a good point.
It'd be a sign that they gave up. So I trust me, I think they should sell too. I mean, they're a mediocre team. They haven't won 5 games in a row all season. They've just been consistently inconsistent for 3 years now, really. You know, just one of those teams that, you know, good enough to beat anybody, good enough to, like, give you a little false hope that they can get that last wild card spot, but you just know they stink.
There's no cornerstone on this team. There's nobody that I would pay to go see. There's nobody on this team where you would say, well, that's a good player. This is just a bunch of guys. And you're right about Farhan, and I think it sort of begins and ends there. I think he's done either way. But if he doesn't go to the playoffs, that pretty much cements his fate. And I think he realizes that. And this is not, we're not going to, you know, do a Farhan, let's pile on. Farhan has been the problem. I mean, certainly he deserves a lot of the blame. But somebody's got to be the fall guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you miss the playoffs,
and I wouldn't
he's
even,
out.
I wouldn't even consider him a fall guy. It's his fault. This is his team, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't consider Farhan the fall guy. I would consider Farhan getting fired just repercussions to your actions, brother. You know, it happens. And like you said, no need to pile on. And, you know, I don't ever... I never wish someone to lose their job.
Sure, sure.
You know what
same
I mean?
Way.
But that's just the nature of the business he's in. It is what it is. It is what it is. Exactly. You're in a very public, performance-based business, and you have not performed up to the standards of this market, of the history of the organization that you general manage, and it's time to go, brother. I mean, there's been some bright spots on that squad this year, singularly, like Tyler Fitzgerald, for instance. Guy is just raking right now. Yeah. Young guy, you know, he's first Giant rookie in the team's history to hit a homer in five games. Now he's in the same breath as Barry Bonds in terms of what he's done lately. He came on late, but that seems like
going,
a guy.
We're not going Barry Bonds and Tyler Fitzpatrick.
Obviously. I mean, come on. Obviously. He's not Barry Bonds. I'm not advocating for that. But if you look at what he has done lately in the only other guy since Barry Bonds, he did this since Barry Bonds, did that since Barry Bonds. It's impressive what he's been able to do.
Yeah, just to clarify, Dan, what he's talking about is Tyler Fitzgerald is the first Giants player with 7-plus home runs in an 8-game span since Barry Bonds in 2004.
So he went, I want to say, 5 consecutive games with home runs?
Yeah, 5 straight games.
That's pretty impressive.
You know, that's impressive for anybody, especially a rookie. So he's the first Giants rookie to do that. He's hit 7 home runs in 8 games. First Giant to do that since
Barry Bonds. Let me ask you this. Where does he play, though? Is he your starting shortstop?
I mean, right now, I'm pretty sure he's outfielder. I think he plays center field. I mean, you know, look, I'm not going to sit here and act like a baseball savant. I watch enough that I know what I'm talking about, but there's definitely people out there smarter than me. If you're on the text line, you know, give us your thoughts. If you want to call in, give us your thoughts about Tyler Fitzgerald. Now, look, the one thing about him, he's on a heater. So we've seen guys on heaters before. Can he do that? Is there longevity to that? He hasn't done this all year. It's kind of been a condensed hot streak. And we've seen in baseball that guys can get hot and then you never see them again. So obviously I'm not anointing him as the next one right now, but he's opening eyes. He is legitimately opening eyes. Luis Matos, he's had a good season, made his first All-Star game. A little shaky in the outfield. Elliot Ramos. Yeah. I mean, a little shaky in the outfield he's been. The one thing that's concerning, but I mean, he's a great player and we know it. He's just been terrible as of late, is the guy on the bump, Logan Webb. I mean, he's played really bad, pitched really bad over the last couple of starts. He was terrible in the All-Star game. I mean, I know it's an All-Star game, but his team has the lead. He gets in. He just gets pounded, leaves the game. His team's losing. And that was coming off his final start of the first half where he gave up like 7 runs in 5 innings. So it's just the vibes aren't good over there in that clubhouse. I expected the Giants to be better this year, not because of the roster per se, because of the manager. I thought they had a significant upgrade when they got rid of Kapler and they hired Bob Melvin. I said, Bob Melvin's going to get you wins just because he's a really good manager. And that hasn't even come to fruition. They're the same team as they were with our guy, Gabe Kapler. The same team, just, you know, floating around 500 all year. You know, maybe a couple of cool games that give you a glimpse that, oh, this is what this team can be. And then they follow it up with, like, losing 3 in Colorado. It's the same team that we've seen the last 3 years.
Yeah, so what does that tell you? That it wasn't Gabe Kapler, and it's not Bob Melvin, but it's personnel.
Exactly.
And so this is why I don't necessarily say that our man Farhan is you know, he's somewhat of a fall guy because, you know, he's not. I think getting Soler, getting Matt Chapman, getting sort of the players at Jung-Hoo Lee, I mean, he can't go to the plate and perform, right? So a lot of this is on the players, quite frankly. But he's a fall guy in this regard, is that somebody has got to take the axe. Somebody has got to be the target of all these verbal darts and where we're going in terms of improving this baseball team. You mentioned the clubhouse. That's something that gets overlooked. I'm a big clubhouse guy. I'm somebody
like
that
camaraderie and chemistry.
If you get that chemistry and it's right, it translates to wins on the field. And think about this team during their run in 10, 12, and 14. Some of the biggest characters in baseball. And Lincecum and Pat Burrell and all those boys and Smith coming out of the bullpen. I mean, this was a team that was loaded. They were like the Raiders back in the 1970s. And now look at them. Like, this is a team, and I know there's a million and one reasons as to why the Giants are struggling right now, but I think one of which gets overlooked, and when I look at this team, it is absolutely void of any personality. Matt Chapman, I like, but Matt Chapman might be one of the boringest dudes I've talked to in recent memory. And Yastrzemski, nice guy, but what? You know, there's nothing there. My point being is that even Brandon Crawford, who had that dry wit, Brandon Belt, who was sort of a leader, and of course, you know, you had Buster Posey in his quiet way of leadership.
Talk about boring, though. Buster Posey?
Yeah, but in a weird way, you know, he lent towards sort of, you know, stability in that locker room. Right now, I just look at that team and I'm like, who are you? And who is this team as far as, you know, having some level of a character? But that aside, everybody's got to go. I would say the only guys that are secure is Elliot Ramos. And I'm leaning in on the kids. Yastrzemski out. Conforto out.
Chapman
Flores
out.
Chapman, I'm not so sure because of his defense, and I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
He can get you something. If you're going to be sellers, that's the thing, though. If you're going to be sellers, you gotta give some of the guys. Like Matt Chapman, for everything you just said about him, if you're a team that's close or you're a team that's in the playoffs and you need another bat, you need another guy who can, you know, play defense, make some plays for you, Matt Chapman will be a nice little addition.
Well, here's what can get you something back is Blake Snell. See you, buddy.
100%.
Get him out.
100%. Knowing you.
In fact, I would go as far as Lamont Wade. I know he's popular with teams, but the New York Yankees need a first baseman. Looking for Jersey Ken, but the Yankees are void of a first baseman. Their man Rizzo's out. If we know anything about the Yankees when it comes to this time of the year, they are willing to overpay. Lamont Wade, Yankees, what do you want for a left-handed hitting first baseman? We all know about the porch out there in Yankee Stadium. If they're willing to give me a boatload, as they typically do, here's your first baseman.
Yeah, I think he can play, and he's got a really good glove, too. And that's one thing, you know, the Yankees could always use as a solid glove.
And they're without a first baseman for
a team. Damn, that's my guy, too. Late night Lamont. They're going to make him, he's going to have to shave his facial hair, go over there and play in the Bronx.
That's right. Straighten up, man. You're in New York City. Put on the pinstripes and do it right.
You can keep the stash, though.
Yeah.
Keep the stash.
I noticed that. I thought you had to be clean shaven. I actually noticed that this season. A bunch of people have stashes.
But everybody, Lamont, wait, Tyro Estrada, if that's where Luciano wants to play, Tyro, my man. Pack your bags.
How about Duvall?
Everybody's out. Duvall, I'd consider, but you got to have a closer. So are you leaning in on Walker? Like, there has to be an heir apparent if we're going to put Camilo Duvall. I'm still in the belief that you can still roll this guy out there, but I like the way you're thinking because it's time to go young. It's time to go Matos. Let him make his mistakes at the major league level. Elliot Ramos, you do your thing. Luciano, you come up. And the fact that they're optioning out Birdsong, now I know that there's a wrinkle, and so they can get him back on this doubleheader coming up, I believe, today. But I'm leaning in on Birdsong. It's all about the youth. It's not very dissimilar. No, we'll get into a conversation about the Golden State Warriors, but I'm very... It's similar in that I think it's time to go young. And especially as it relates to the San Francisco Giants, in every offseason, leaning in on these free agents and these high-priced pitchers who can opt out after a year. That's obviously not working. Just go young with some of these kids and let's see what we can get. And at the trade, he's never really sold. Since he's been there in six years, this is the opportunity. Just do it. Be bold. This is what GMs do. Have a vision. And be that guy. Don't play the balancing act and do what it is that you did in your first year with the San Francisco Giants just a couple of months after you got hired, where you tried to keep Smith in the bullpen and Madison Bumgarner, and then, you know, you're unloading Melanson. Like, dude, pick a lane. What are we doing here? And I'll tell you what it is that you need to do is just absolutely invest on the youngsters. And it's time to say goodbye to Lamont Wade, Snell, Conforto, Yastrzemski, Flores, all of you guys. You got a one-way ticket out of town, and let's go.
That's Dan DeVone. I'm Jason Dumas, 95-70 game Saturdays. Who would you get rid of on this Giants roster if the Giants decide to sell? For me, top three names that I think could get you back some great pieces in the farm system. Blake Snell, you got to go. Thank you for your services. Matt Chapman, you got to go. Thank you for your services. Camilo Duvall, you got to go. Thank you for your services. I think those are the three guys who could really get you things. You don't want to give away Logan Webb. I mean, he's the one guy you got. who is an all-star, perennial type all-star. You keep him, but those other three guys, they can get you some nice pieces for your future. Who would you move at the deadline if you were sellers and you were running the San Francisco Giants? I mean, Dan, the deadline's in 3 days, and they are 500. They're going nowhere. They can't seem to muster up a win streak. As I said, they haven't won 5 games in a row all season long. It's sickening almost.
Yeah, and they're 5.5 out, I want to say, the last wild card spot in catching the San Diego Padres. That's just not going to happen. And the chances of that happening become even that more problematic when you think about all the teams that you have to leapfrog. Because there's a logjam. It's backloaded now about, I want to say, 5 teams.
Yeah, for sure. Like, here, I'm pulling up the standings right now, and it's been like that all year. Just how many games back they are is more of an illusion because, yeah, they might only be, right now, the Giants are 5.5 games back. So, conceivably, you're like, oh, they can make that up. But they have 5 teams in front of them. They'd have to jump 5 teams just to get the last wild card spot. You know, I know, that is not happening. Indicative of what they've done all year. They haven't won 5 games in a row.
That's amazing. Well, it's not going to happen also because, logistically, those teams have to play each other.
Yeah.
So somebody's got to win.
100%.
Like all those, not everybody can fall back to the San Francisco Giants if you're playing each other. Somebody is going to drive that pace car and distance themselves from San Francisco. The Giants are going to have to rip off 12 of 13. They're going to have to win 11 in a row. Do you see it in this team? I certainly do not. And the only thing that bothers me is that this weekend is a huge, significant weekend because, first of all, Colorado stinks. If the Giants win 3 of 4, if they sweep Colorado, you talk about being delusional. If that alters their thinking that we're no longer sellers, that's a huge mistake in my regard as well.
Yeah, 100%. Let's go out to the phone lines. My guy, Filmo Mike, he's on the bridge right now. Mike, got some brothers talking baseball, bro. What's up?
Hey, man, I love baseball, man. Shout out to all the junior Giants and all the Bay Root teams in the Bay Area. But nah, listen though, man. Farhan Zaidi got to keep it real with himself, bro. Like, we going to see if it's a word, it's a term we go, RNS, real, whatever. You feel me? So it's like, if he a real one, right, he going to sell the team because that's what is best for the organization. Sort of like what Draymond Green said. You feel me? I'm trying to do his best for the organization. And if he don't, he just being a selfish guy. You know what I'm saying? And so we're going to see. My other part of the reason I was calling was because basically these people, like the players nowadays all across baseball, it's like 5 good players. Like literally, in my opinion. When I used to watch baseball, you had like regular play. You had like, to me, Chipper Jones was a cool player, but he was on today's level. He'll be the best player in the league. You had like players like Fred McGriff, Matt Williams. I'm just talking about regular players that you had levels to it. Now it's like you only got like superstars and trash players. I don't know why it's no like in between. Like I don't know if they value different things in baseball, but to me, you hit the ball, you play good defense, and you pitch well, and you get a winning team together. Like, what's so hard about that? I don't understand like the disconnect. If we in Taco Bell Park, right, it's supposed to be for pitchers, get hella pitchers and play defenses, get players that's gonna slap the ball around the field so that you can run around the field. Like, I don't understand why Farhan is acting like this is so scientific. It's not that scientific. Get a good baseball player. He hit 300. Let him hit. Don't try to change his swing. Let him hit 300.
Yeah, I hear that.
Who hits 300?
That's a frustrated fan.
But I'm from Orinda. What's RNS?
Oh, it's we'll tell you off air. We'll tell you off air.
I'm playing. Hey, I got a shout out for my man, Ev. Our boy Evan is in a layover in Jersey after drinking for 2 weeks straight out. And where was he? He was out in Sweden?
Evan Giddings,
yeah,
right?
He was out in Sweden visiting his family.
He told me he was taking 2 weeks off. Funny, I got coffee this morning, and the barista was like, how's your weekend? What you got planned? I said, oh, I'm about to go hop on the radio. He's like, which one? I'm like, 95.70 game. He goes, do you know Evan Giddings? I was like, yeah, I do. So
Evan gets around.
He's
man.
Known out here. Shout he out to Evan.
He may look like the kid next door and your paper boy, but I'm telling you, man, he's closing some joints.
Yeah,
you should have told him he's hosting. He's filling in for Steiny. Steiny and Guru next week.
Yeah, he's a real deal.
Filling in for Steiny.
Shout out. Hopefully, Ev had a great vacation. He deserves it. That man works really, really hard. Has a whole bunch of jobs. He's a grinder. So hopefully,
I've given him my business card like 15 times to be his agent. It's right? not working out.
Oh man, but look. Back to film on Mike and that call he had. It just seemed like it feels like every fan can echo that sentiment. They are just exhausted. And what came through to me was, and I think it spoke for a lot of fans, Farhan is doing way too much. He's this numbers guy and he's trying to change the game. Bro, baseball is not that complicated. If you can play defense, you can pitch, you can hit, get those guys, trust your eyes, get ball players. This analytic crap, look, even in basketball too, it's like, bro, you're doing too much. He has to shoot X amount of three-pointers, blah, blah, blah. Get to the rim. You can blow by anybody. You got these guys pulling up from three on a two-on-one break. Like, it's sickening sometimes, and that's... We see it in baseball, too. This number, that number, analytic this, analytic that.
Is Daryl Morey the equivalent of Farhan in the NBA, do you think?
He might be. He might be. And Daryl Morey, obviously, he's with the Sixers. The Sixers have an extremely talented roster. We will see how that plays out. I don't know.
Remember him in Houston, though? He was basically, like a 6'5" in under league.
I would give Morey more credit than Farhan because Morey has taken teams, have constructed teams that have made deep runs. And who's to know? Maybe the Rockets could have won a championship or at least made the finals if they weren't in the same area as the Warriors.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the Utah Jazz.
Paul doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, and they might win. It's like, you know, Utah Jazz, very, very good team. They were in the same area as the 90s Bulls. It's just unfortunate. They were never going to win one. If they dropped them in a different era, they probably win one or two. It's, you know, you can see all those teams in the Eastern Conference that had to play against LeBron James every single year probably would have gone to the NBA Finals in other eras, but they went up against arguably the best player of all time. Not by my standard. He's up there, but you get the point. Farhan is like, I don't know. He seems, you know, and I don't know the guy personally, but his personnel move seems like he wants to be the smartest guy in the room.
I can't blame him for the personnel moves over the last couple of years. I mean, collectively, yeah, a lot of them haven't worked, but I mean, think about it. Jung-Hoo Lee, I think, is exactly who it is that Fillmore's describing, right?
But he was good.
Yeah.
It's a shame he messed up his shoulder.
But that's not on Farhan.
No,
right?
That's not.
A lot of this is just circumstantial. I think Matt Chapman is a good third baseman. At the time, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. The guy can pick it, and he's a good bat, but he hasn't been very good. Jorge Soler, everybody's saying, well, listen, we need a bopper, right? We need somebody who can give you three runs with one swing of the bat. Go get Soler. And he does. And Soler has just been putrid. I mean, that is a guy that I would also, Soler, who wants Soler? Anybody? You know, get him on one of these food trucks out here down on Market Street and start selling that guy. Like, what do you want for this? I mean, but nobody's going to take on that contract, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as Farhan, he makes the right moves. Soler, you got to hit the ball. Snell, you got to pitch better. At some point, Chapman, you've got to do better. Jung-Hoo Lee, yeah, you screwed up your shoulder. So a lot of this is... I think he did what it is that he needed to do as a GM in terms of prudent moves. At some point, it's up to the player to produce. But as I, you know, stated off the top, the players aren't going to take the fall. It's going to be Farhan whose head's got to roll.
I'll say this, and it was an amazing, amazing performance. Robbie Ray the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Coming back after damn near, 2 years being on ice and – pitching, five scoreless innings? Five no-hit innings, I believe, even. He was great. Maybe they have something in him. Obviously,
by the way, a shout-out to Farhan. Once again, he got Robbie Ray from Mitch Haniger. Go look at what Mitch Haniger's doing with Seattle. I'll tell you right now.
Stinks.
Nothing.
Yeah, he stinks.
So, I mean, that one, maybe it's an outlier, but you have to give Farhan credit if Robbie Ray turns out to be that guy. Go ahead.
What if he does? Like, I mean, this is a guy who is a former Cy Young Award winner. You have visions. Snell, Webb, Ray. I mean, if they all could get it going, that is a formidable three-man starting rotation right there. So, who knows? I mean, look, like I said, I'm not a baseball savant. There's plenty of people out there who know personnel better than me and who knows how these things go better than me. But from just my naked eye, this team has been the same team for 3 years. They've been boring to watch, boring to cover. That 107-win season feels like it was a decade ago.
Yeah.
That was one of the funnest teams I've ever covered in my career. It was just every game was fun.
But that seemed like sort of the outlier.
100% was an outlier.
Yeah.
You look back at that now, you said, how the hell did they win 107 games with that roster? It pretty much like every starter, obviously, I'm saying it for effect. It wasn't every single starter, but like 70% of the starters that year had like career years.
And every button that Gabe Kapler pushed came up roses.
Right.
From pinch hit home runs, which they led the majors, to personnel moves. I mean, he could do no wrong.
Yeah, 100%. Won a lot of one run games. I always mess that little two-word duo up.
And that's one of those where the stars were aligned, and sometimes you will enjoy a season like that. And I think what you're witnessing this year is the other end of the spectrum, where just about everything can go wrong.
Right.
Where Chapman doesn't hit, Jung-Hoo Lee gets hurt, and Nick Ahmed goes deep on you, which is just double bird as he goes
around the bases. 2 weeks after being traded. 2 weeks after being traded, he takes you yard. That was like, oh man, that had to feel good for him.
Yeah, good for Nick Ahmed, man.
What a win. You're on the Giants, and then you blink 2 weeks later, you're on a team that can win the World Series.
Sports, man.
Although they won't win the World Series. The Dodgers won't. They'll find a way not to. But Shohei Ohtani is... I know Fillmore Mike was talking about the guys in that era aren't as good as the guy or better than the guys in this era. Maybe he has a point totality wise, but Shohei Ohtani is the best player in pretty much any era he's playing.
And think about that series. No Mookie Betts, no who's the former Oakland A? What am I thinking of? The third baseman?
Olsen.
No, the
Simeon.
That's a guy's name. He's a giant killer. Former Oakland A, was discarded.
Redhead dude.
Muncy. What's his name? You know what I'm talking about.
Muncy.
Oh, thank yeah, Max Muncy.
Max Muncy.
Yeah. Yeah, he does kill the Giants. So
yeah, I mean, that Dodger lineup was void of some serious frontline players, and still.
All right, Giants. Well, look, if you want to keep talking Giants, give us a call, but I think we're Gianted out right now. That's just who they are. Mediocre team, boring team. But we have way, way more to talk about here on 95.7 The Game Saturdays. Some Warriors, some 49ers, a lot to break down. That's Dan Devone. I'm Jason Dumas. We'll be right back.
Arhan's cooked.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You were talking about some of the Florida wackos. He's one of them.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Here we go. I have no idea. I don't even remember what that was a reference to.
It was one of those basketball players that's like really sort of MAGA right wing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What were we talking about? Like Jonathan Isaac or something?
No, it was actually about a caller.
Oh,
it was
a caller calling in from Florida. Oh, man, yeah. Come on, man. Sorry. Never going to turn a viewer away. You know, they pay the bills, but sometimes you got to call it as you see it. A wacko is a wacko, you know?
Yeah, you see, you got to cross-promote because you got the TV persona.
Like, yeah, yeah. So, you know,
I'm
radio.
Off of TV. I can just right. go off on the coconuts. Radio, you got to be nice, guy.
Mm-hmm. Radio is...
Hell with that.
Radio is always a unique switch-up for me because, obviously, my bread, my butter, which really pays my mortgage, is my television work. And on TV, I don't give my opinions. I present facts. I break news. I tell stories. I don't really get up there saying, I do this, this guy's that. But we come on the radio and that's kind of what we do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got to kind of toe the line sometimes, you know, every now and then somebody from a PR department on one of the teams might be like, hey, that was kind of crazy what you said. And I'm just like, you know what? Look, I'm just doing my job. Just doing my job. But you're right. I got to kind of cross promote. I really do.
Yeah, you got to drive it down the middle a little bit more than I do. So when you're on the air on television at KRON, by the way, Jason Dumas, who knocks it out for Kron, what are you, Monday through Friday?
Sunday through Thursday.
Oh, those are good hours.
Yeah, man. Yo, man, I've been
Get
blessed.
Get Fridays off.
Saturday, yeah, because I got to be there Sunday during football season.
Those are prime days. Well, do you ever editorialize? I mean, can you get up there and be objective? I know you're passionate about the NBA, but if there's a trade, if you're talking about marketing, you can't sneak in a little bit of,
this
is a good or a bad idea?
No. Every now and then, I'll kind of sneak in an opinion, but I'm not choking people with my opinions every day. Mm. I know some people like my predecessor, like Radnitz, up there, you know, but that worked for him. I like fancy myself more as like a journalist. I don't want to get up there and just spew my opinions for a little 5-minute sports cast. I want to tell you what happened. I take pride in being first with stuff. I take pride in breaking news, telling good, engaging stories, and getting exclusive interviews.
Yeah.
So there's no real need for me to be editorializing everything. Now, obviously, I'll slip in a jab every now and then, say my opinion, but it's not something that you're going to get from me every day. And, that's how I do it.
I was just to maintain that you got to have that level of objectivity on television. Although my latter years, I lost that as well. But
people know I'm from Philly, but that doesn't really come through on my TV.
When you do radio, see, at least when I was doing television and local television, there are a lot of guys that couldn't do sports talk radio because they get exposed. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of TV people that are pretty, can read from the prompter, look good in the makeup, but don't know the first damn thing about sports.
Oh, who are you telling?
But if you get in front of a mic for 4 hours, you're going to get exposed if you don't know what the hell's going on.
You know how many people I've worked with who present the sports, but you can't sit in the bar and talk sports with them?
No.
You'd be sitting there like, what?
But to their defense, if I'm a television news director as opposed to Matt Nahagian and a program director and radio, TV's a different animal because it's not that hardcore, especially local television. Now it's just, you know, it's mom and pop and Milpitas that just want to see their local sports guy.
Right.
Not really into, you know, get rid of Farhan.
Well, that's what I tell some of my staff. I've been at Kron 6 years. My last job, I was also the sports director too. I tell them, like, keep it basic because our audience is not looking for the next level breakdown of the secondary. You know what I mean? Most of them probably can't even grasp that. And that's not me being insulting. It's like you said, the mom and dad of Mel Peters, they just want to see if the 49ers won and how they won. We don't have to go next level. Simplify everything you're doing. If you want that next level breakdown, you're watching Dan Orlovsky on ESPN.
It's no, just exactly.
Not, it's not what we do at Cron. It's not what we did at my last station. There's nothing wrong with that either. So I do tell some of my colleagues that. But, you know, speaking of Dan Orlovsky, we're about to break down some Niners football right now.
Orlovsky.
Sorry, brother. Let me tell you this. Right off the bat, concerning or not concerning, we're, what, 4 days, 5 days into training camp, and Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk have not stepped on the field.
Concerning that Trent Williams isn't there. Brandon Ayuk can go back and forth, and quite frankly, I've been asked this. If he's not with the team, I'm okay with it. I mean, you'd like to have him, but I still think that the San Francisco 49ers have another so many stars they can compensate for a loss of that of Brandon Ayuk. You could disagree. We can get into that, but Brandon Ayuk is not keeping me up at night. Trent Williams, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ring that alarm bell. Something's like Lynch and all the powers that be, let's gather around. You know how they have sometimes these emergency podcasts when somebody gets traded?
Yeah.
Let's emergency meeting. Let's all meet in Santa Clara or wherever the hell it is that you gather. We got to do something because Trent Williams isn't happy. Yeah. And it's not hard to placate him. It's going to be much like that of McCaffrey. Give him the guaranteed money. Take care of him. But that, to me, is much more concerning than that of Brandon Ayuk.
Well, I mean,
because he has a higher level of importance than Brandon Ayuk.
100%. Proof is in the pudding. He didn't play three games last year. They lost every game that he didn't play. He's by far the most important player on this team outside of a quarterback. But a quarterback by default is just very important, obviously. But when you like take that away, you can't win without him. Your offensive line is awful without Trent Williams. Not average. It's below average. You don't win high level games in the NFL with a below average offensive line. You just
well, Banks
don't.
Is okay, and Brendel can be good, and I don't know if they're awful. They're maybe mediocre.
Yeah,
you I mean, call them awful.
Awful is not a word, or awful is not a word I want to use to describe them. Shout out to Banks, Bay Area kid. But I mean, look, I don't have to really describe it myself. Just look how they have performed without Trent Williams on the field. It hasn't been good. I mean, that's not my opinion. That's literally the fact. The offensive line has not been good when Trent Williams doesn't play. No need for me to give my opinion. Just use your eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's very important that they get him back. I think they will. They're not stupid. John Lynch ain't dumb.
No,
Kyle Shanahan ain't dumb. They'll get him back. But I love how Trent Williams is like, he's like, I ain't coming out. You know, I'm not going to do a little hold in like Brandon Ayuk. So I disagree with you on the fact that I think Brandon Ayuk is extremely important to this offense. And if he doesn't play for them, they will feel it. I really agree with that. But I don't think it's a big deal for a different reason. I just think he's going to play. I mean, he has absolutely, I was of the opinion like 2 weeks ago, everybody was saying he has no leverage, and I disagreed because I was like, he has leverage because if he doesn't play, it hurts the team. Now I don't think he has leverage because he showed up. It's like, you're there walking around, following John Lynch, talking to John Lynch. Like, bro, if either hold out or don't. Like, what are you doing here? You just kind of walking around? Like, what's the tactic? What is
the
tactic?
It's the fines.
And look, bro, so you got to stand for something.
Yeah.
You got to stand for something.
Yeah. Well, you know, his...
I guess it's easier said than done. It ain't my money.
Yeah, and when you're losing, what is it, 45K a day, that sort of adds up. So.
But they'll waive that. Just put your foot down and be like, I ain't showing up until you give me more money. Yeah. I won't play either. I'm telling you that. Saying that, that makes a statement. What he's doing now, they're like, he around. Well, he's going to play.
Yeah.
He's going to play.
That's letting them know that I know that you guys have got the hammer in this relationship, basically.
Right, 100%. And I just don't think it's, from a standpoint, a personal standpoint of Brandon Ayuk, I don't think it's benefited him what he's doing.
Well, he's right, because the San Francisco 49ers do indeed hold the keys to the car. And I think everybody knows that. The reason why I think the 49ers, right now, when we have a tendency to play this thing on paper, we always have it. We like to look at rosters. It's a lot of conjecture. We like to think about position by position and what player is more significant than another, because they're obviously not playing games. We're not in the season. We have a tendency to overblow these things. I think that once the season gets started, you always have to keep in mind that the 49ers, during the tenure of that of Kyle Shanahan, have never been singularly focused on one guy. And Brandon Ayuk, albeit a good player, Kyle Shanahan is so innovative, and there are so many stars that when you're talking about McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel and Kittle and Brock Purdy, the list goes on, that yes, you would love to have Brandon Ayuk. Is he going to be the difference maker as to whether or not I go to a Super Bowl? I'm willing to say no. There's going to be a host of other reasons as to why you didn't get to the pinnacle, whether it's injuries, whether it's underwhelming play by some of your stars, or, as you mentioned, bad offensive line. If all things being equal and you're a good football team, it's not because you won't, if you don't get to a Super Bowl and or win one, it's not going to be because Brandon Ayuk didn't play football this year. Again, I could be on an island there, but I strongly believe that, man, listen, there's an X factor in all of this. In the rookie that they drafted out of Florida to see just exactly
what he hasn't been on the field either.
He's on the PUP list, but he is expected back. But, you know, I think that this is a team that is relying on its defense. And we have a tendency to think overblow. He had a remarkable season, and he was their signature go-to wide receiver. And Brock Purdy has developed remarkable rapport with this guy. But this is a team that does it with defense. You do it by running the football when Kyle Shanahan is at his very best. It's 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It's between the tackles. And then when you get teams on their heels and they start guessing, Shanahan's going to carve you up no matter who the hell's in that slot or your number one, whether it's Juwan Jennings or just go down the list. And I think that once you start playing football games, this will all be evident. I do not think at this juncture you'd like to have Brandon Ayuk. Do not, you know, don't get this crooked. You're a better football team with him. But does he have the leverage to command upwards to $30 to $35 million and go to the Justin Jefferson neighborhood? If I'm the GM, he does not.
Right. So I disagree a little bit with you. I think they absolutely do need Brandon Ayuk to win a Super Bowl. I think 1,300 plus.
No joke. Huge season.
1,300 receiving yards, that's a lot of production to make up. I don't think Deebo Samuel is a good wide receiver. I think he's a good X, you know, runs some routes. He doesn't have a full route tree, not at an elite level.
He's a good football player.
He's a great football player. Trust me, do not get that mistaken as me insulting Deebo Samuel as a football player. I don't think he's a good wide receiver. I think he's a good football player. He can run some routes, get you some great production through the air. You can line him up anywhere. He can make plays out of the backfield. He's amazing after the catch. But straight as a receiver, if he's your number one receiver, and Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings, I don't think that's that great of a receiving core. And I think Brandon Ayuk was by far their best playmaker on the outside. I think Brandon Ayuk is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and it's a very deep position. And I just think he allows that offense to do some of the things they do. He allows Deebo to play in the manner he plays because he's there. So, you know, I think they would be screwed without Brandon Ayuk. Now, I think they're going to have him. I mean, he's there. Like, he's showing up. I don't know. Like, you're here now, bro. What, are you going to come and leave? Like, you literally lost any position you had. And a lot of people didn't even think you had that strong of a position. So that flimsy position you even had is gone. What are you doing here?
Yeah, to add to that, so TJ Husmanzada,
Husmanzada out of Oregon State.
Okay. He's Brandon Ayuk's personal wide receiver coach. He was on Willard and Dibbs about 4 days ago, and he talked about if Ayuk doesn't get an extension, the season will be hard on him. I just want to play you guys some sound.
Before you do that, you know what Marshawn Lynch, who also can pronounce his last name, would call him TJ Who's Your Mama.
Okay, here it is.
It's going to be hard. There's no other way to put it. It's going to be some good days. It's going to be some bad days. And this is about as honest as I can be with you. There's going to be some days where it won't be on his mind. There's going to be some days where you're going to see his body language. You're going to look at his face, and you automatically know. It's just he's thinking about it. And you feel like, I've done this. I led the team in targets. I led the team in yards. I believe he was third in touchdowns. Bro, just pay me. I mean, you know, that's the player. You know, you want to compare me to this player and that player, but when this player and that player signs a contract that you don't want to give me, that comparison is no longer valid. And so there'll be some good days. There'll be some bad days. I'm sure BA will try to be a professional as much as possible, but he's human.
I mean, yeah, it's true. Look, I'm going to preface what I'm about to say with, it's easier said than done, especially when it ain't my money. I get it. You got bills to play. Protect the check. Trust me, if anyone knows, I know. We're living in the Bay Area, living between margins, trying to make it work. So I know that. But, bro, if you're going to hold out, you got to do it all the way. You got to stand for something. Put some things in place that'll maybe get you some income, whether you're, I don't know, whether you're signing autographs, whether you're doing some endorsement deals, even if it's like low-level companies, just to get some checks coming in. But you got to do it all the way. Like, they don't take you seriously now. You're there. Brandon's here. He'll be all right. He's going to be lined up week one. We not trying to hear all that. That's what it is right now. Like, what are you doing? If you're going to hold out, hold out. Put your foot on their neck. Like, you're like halfway in, halfway out. Yeah. Ain't no such thing as halfway crooks, bro. Either be in or be out. They don't respect you now from that standpoint. They just don't. I don't get what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's a matter of respect. I just think it's dollars and cents for the 49ers. And they have a number that they're going to come in at. And a lot of this is simply because of what they have to do next year in paying Brock Purdy. And they get creative, right? Because we have to keep in mind that salary cap is going up exponentially with all the new revenue streams when it comes to gambling and the new TV deals with all of these, you know, these networks giving way to streaming platforms and the Amazons of the world. This is, it's not only money for the NBA, but it's a lot of money for the NFL, which means that salary caps go up and players get more money and that teams have more money with which to deal. So you want to defer a lot of this. But Brock Purdy, so Jordan Love just signed a deal, with, again, $53, $54 million in that Trevor Lawrence neighborhood. Brock Purdy, if he plays Brock Purdy-esque football, is going to get $60 million next year.
Ooh.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And I think that Brock Purdy, unlike that of Ayuk, and maybe even trumps that of Trent Williams, is somebody that takes, you know, precedence.
Obviously.
And so
it's hard to get a quarterback who's good.
Yeah, has to be taken into account because there's a domino effect. And so we cannot overpay what we believe is a reasonable price that we're offering Brandon Ayuk. So they're going to toe the line simply because they have to think about the fallout of next year, and namely one Brock Purdy.
100%. I see we lost a caller. If you're still listening, call back in. We'll get you on. Now, to that point of Brock Purdy.
Let me know if I get long-winded if there's a caller on.
No, no.
Cut me off.
No.
Give me the slash throat.
You haven't been long-winded. We lost him before you even started talking.
You ever do that when you're on television and you realize that you're, or they're, whatever, that they need you to get out early and they're giving you the hand signals?
Yeah. I'm very aware.
The worst is when you get like 2 minutes into your broadcast and whatever, it's a new
story coming up.
No, it's a new director. What do they call it? New producer.
Yeah.
And so the producers screwed up their timing and they get in your ear like, you need to wrap. Last story. Or they'll just say last story. I'm like, bro, I got another 3 minutes of my broadcast.
I definitely hate when they float new content that we have ready to air. That's so annoying. But I'm pretty mindful of the time on air, you know, doing 11 years. I'm pretty mindful of that. The thing about going into my sportscast heavy can be annoying. I'm not really long-winded on TV. I'm actually short and concise and to the point, because being long-winded on TV only just like widens your margin for error for you to mess up or like step on your tongue. Just get in, out, get straight to the point. You also got to work as if the viewer is lazy and has a short attention span.
Yeah, like, because they do.
It's just the truth. I have a short attention span. So I'm, you know, like, talking so much, you start wondering, thinking about something else. All of a sudden, you look back and the guy's still talking. You're like, oh, what the heck is he talking about? Get right to the point on TV. So I tell people who I work with
scripts?
That too. Yeah. I can't. It's harder for me to blind read scripts. Like, I can't just, I mean, I can, but it's not ideal. And I won't be performing at the highest level if I just blind read someone else's writing. Mm. I have to write my own scripts.
Yeah, see, I hated scripts because that if I had to condense a sports cast and if I knew we were heavy going into sports and I had to go fast, I didn't want to be beholden to a teleprompter. So right, I could do what was slotted as a 40-second VO. I could do that thing in 15 seconds.
Right, right. Get straight to the point.
Yeah, that way you don't have to, like, otherwise you're reading every last word.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Yeah. 100%. What the hell are we talking about?
We're talking about local television. Now, look, Brock Purdy, he's due for a payday. We know that. If the 49ers are smart, which I think they are, I mean, their front office, head coach, they've made great moves. They've built a Super Bowl team, caliber team. Obviously, they haven't won the big game, but they're smart guys. If they're smart and Brock Purdy's smart too, he would take a Patrick Mahomes type deal. Spread it out. Long, 8-9 years. And get your money over time, not have that huge cap hit if he wants to keep a very good team.
Yeah, that's hard to do on a guy who's getting his first chicken or his first
bag.
Yeah,
that's true.
Usually the Tom Brady's and the Patrick Mahomes. Although, and the Patrick Mahomes, I don't know that that's necessarily a good example because the Kansas City Chiefs are getting over on this guy.
Oh, 100%.
When you think what it is that he's going to make on the back end.
But they're also winning, though. I think that's important. I think that's important to Patrick. And obviously, Patrick is good enough to where he could probably win with less. And to a certain degree, he won with less last year. The Niners were more talented than the Chiefs, in my opinion. Maybe not wildly more talented, but on paper, they were more talented. They should have won that game.
Yeah.
I mean,
more talented except for one position and one guy, and that was Patrick Mahomes.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, but that's my point. They could win with less, but Patrick Mahomes also knows him continuing to win Super Bowls and being there at the end, that's going to just make him money too outside of football, visibility. Like,
he
knows that's a very relevant aspect of his career, competing for Super Bowls. If Brock Purdy wants to compete for Super Bowls for the entirety of his year, or at least be in that conversation for the entirety of his career, maybe taking a little less and spreading out the money a little more would behoove him. Now, again, I'm not trying to pocket watch, and it's also not my bank account. I don't know what bills he has. I don't know what lifestyle he wants to live. So I can't really, with good faith, tell him what type of money he should take. I'm just saying from an aspect of him continuing to win at a high level, it's probably the smarter move. If he puts his foot on their neck and he goes, look what Jordan Love is making, I need way more than that. I've been more successful. Then goodbye, George Kittle. Goodbye, Deebo Samuel. There will be sacrifices. Mooney Ward, you might have to go now. So there's always a ripple effect. There's always a ripple effect, and it'll be interesting how those contract negotiations go and when the dust settles, how it impacts the rest of the roster.
You know, you're talking about take Patrick Mahomes' deal. Who's the best quarterback in the NFL?
Patrick Mahomes.
No doubt.
By far.
Let me just give you...
Most talented quarterback of all time.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let me just give you currently... The highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL.
Now it's Jordan Love.
You would think it would start with Patrick Mahomes.
Jordan Love, who, mind you, before you go, Jordan Love has done like a quarter of what Brock Purdy's done.
So, actually, it's Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Jordan Love, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff,
shout out Marin Catholic,
Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, you're going to love this next one, Deshaun Watson, Kirk Cousins, who may not even be the starter this year for Atlanta.
Oh, no.
And then Patrick Mahomes.
And look.
At $45 million a year.
And Patrick Mahomes, I mean, I'm not covering that team, but he doesn't seem like he seems content. But, like, he's smart. That used to be Tom Brady, too. You look at all the top paid guys, and Tom Brady was kind of just like, or maybe around the top five. Like, he was never putting his foot on the Patriots' neck. Tom Brady knew what winning did for him. And a lot of guys, again, it's like, I don't want to sound hypocritical or like disingenuous because I've never been in this situation, so I can't act how I would act. But I would like to think I don't come from money. I've never been rich. I work extremely hard for the money I have. I don't need a rich lifestyle. So I think if I had all these humongous paydays coming my way, to me, whether I'm making 20 a year or 25, 6 million a year, what's the difference in my life going to be? It's really not going to be much. Yes, I know 6 million is a lot of money. Don't get me wrong, that difference. But like, I don't think that 6 million would change the way I live. I just don't. It's like money I wouldn't even really miss. The only thing I would be thinking about is long money for my kids and future generations. That's where I would. But for me, I'd be like, eh, it is what it is.
And what's Brock Purdy going to do with all that money on a tractor in Iowa?
Nothing. And he seems like a pretty, he lives an average Joe life. We're going to keep talking Niners on the other end. We're also going to talk some Golden State Warriors. That's Dan Devone. I'm Jason Dumas. This is 95.7 The Game Saturdays. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.